There are three big stories in America today, and they are Trump, Trump, and Trump. Welcome to Brighton Broadcast News for Wednesday, March 6th, 2024. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. And I voted for Trump, as I promised I would. Voted for Trump in the primaries in Texas. Apparently, almost everybody else did as well. It's being called a Texas Chainsaw Massacre as Donald Trump took nearly 78% of the vote just himself, with Nikki Haley at 17.7%, something like that. Only 2% were uncommitted. And Ron DeSantis got a little trickle of votes, and Vivek Ramaswamy got a little trickle as well. But Donald Trump walks away with almost 4 out of 5 votes. I mean, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's the right way to report this. Super Tuesday is now complete, and this wraps it up for Donald Trump. This is it. Donald Trump reportedly won 911 delegates. Isn't that interesting? While Nikki Haley only had 78. Now, those of you who are into numbers and such, you would notice that 9-11, right? Trump wins 911 delegates. Like 911, an emergency for America. Also, of course, 9-11, false flag attack. I don't know. Is it just coincidence? Who knows? Anyway, Trump has trounced Nikki Haley almost everywhere. Almost everywhere. And the race is essentially, at this point, it's over. Officially, Trump needs 1,215 delegates to win the nomination. But with Nikki Haley performing so poorly, she needs to drop out. I mean, this is done. Nobody wants Nikki except the Democrats. In fact, it's mostly Democrats who voted for Nikki Haley just to try to spoil Trump. And it did not work. So Trump is going to be the nominee for the GOP. And although we have reservations, I mentioned some yesterday, I have some issues, you know, like Operation Warp Speed and so on. But it's clear that Trump is our only choice here. If we don't want to completely lose our republic, it's Trump or we die as a nation. Trump's not perfect. You know, Roger Stone told me that in a recent interview. He confirms that as well. But Trump is our only real choice at this point. That's why I voted for Trump in the primary here. And that's why I'm going to vote for Trump again in November if we make it that far. So we need to talk today about what the Democrats are going to try to do to stop Trump from, or to stop the election from taking place, and to try to assassinate Trump, or to try to declare martial law, or start World War III, or have a grid down event. Who knows what? By the way, I interviewed the producer of a new film that's narrated by Hollywood actor Dennis Quaid. And the film is called Grid Down, Power Up. And the producer is named David Tice. Had a really wonderful interview with David. And I'm going to play that interview today. And sometimes I play these interviews out of order, by the way. So I may interview somebody and hold on to that interview for a week or sometimes a couple of weeks, just depending on what's happening in the news, because I like the interview to kind of fit with the rest of the news. And I think this interview about this film, Grid Down, Power Up, which talks about a nationwide grid failure, you know, EMP attack, solar flare, cyber attack, whatever the case may be, the implications of that and what we need to do as a nation in order to harden our electric infrastructure so that we don't lose the power grid and we would lose our nation if that happened. So anyway, that interview is coming up. We've got some other things as well. Victoria Nuland has announced she's going to resign from the U.S. State Department. Or what is she, the undersecretary or the underworld secretary, Satan's secretary, maybe, of the underworld, something like that. Her title's in there somewhere. I mean, she really looks like an actual satanic demon. I try not to normally comment on just people's faces, but you know, when you're that age, your face does begin to sort of take on your attitude, your spirit. You know, when you're young, you haven't had enough time for the wrinkles to form and for facial expressions to really get imprinted in the face. So, you know, whether a young person is good looking or ugly, it's like, whatever, you know, you're just born that way. But when you're Victoria Nuland's age and you've got like decades of hard hatred imprinted in the lines on your face and like this perma scowl, and the demons are portaling through your eyeballs, it's like, oh my gosh, you can't mistake that. That's not just a face. That's a presentation of evil. So Victoria Nuland stepping down, there are huge implications of this. Maybe we'll have a chance to get to that, but she's resigning now. Maybe we'll talk about that. But guess who else got shown the door? The new pedophile brand ambassador for Doritos. Yes, Doritos had a brand new brand ambassador who had posted all kinds of pro-pedophile type stuff about raping 12-year-old girls, by the way. And Doritos, which is, well, part of PepsiCo, I guess it's Frito-Lay Doritos, all under PepsiCo. They hired a new brand ambassador trying to be all progressive and LGBT. And this brand ambassador said that he/she, I don't know the gender, quotes, wants to do hooligan things like hard to even read this, like putting a 12-year-old girl what does that even mean? I don't even want to say it. Unbelievable. What does it mean to put a 12-year-old girl in your, what? And this Doritos spokesperson also posted that they, quote, passed their little cousin's tongue through the vag and says that she smiled at them. What? Doritos? Now, Doritos has launched, of course, the rainbow Doritos with artificial food colors in order to, of course, go full-blown Satanism. So, you know, the Doritos company, PepsiCo, is all infested with Satanism. That's obvious. This is bigger than the Bud Light fiasco. At least the Bud Light transgender guy, forgot that person's name. The Bud Light spokeswoman, man, transgender, that was out there trying to push beer on like a bunch of dudes, a bunch of hairy bearded dudes, trying to push beer on them with this very effeminate, very, you know, gay-like, transgender-like man pretending to be a woman. That whole thing, which cost Bud Light billions of dollars in revenue and valuation, like, that's nothing compared to Doritos. Doritos just straight up hires pedophiles now. What did they not know? Did they not read this person's social media? So I guess if you eat Doritos, you want to eat little children too, is pretty much how that now is coming down. If you eat Doritos, you want to eat children. These are some sick ass corporations all trying to virtue signal and be all progressive. And they just love pedophilia, don't they? They just love grooming. Anyway, by the way, if you're buying Doritos, you're not that smart anyway. They're filled with MSG, by the way, and artificial colors and what have you. I mean, come on. Processed junk food. So if you want to join the effort to boycott Doritos, just if you have a Twitter account or X, just tweet out hashtag boycott Doritos. And Doritos is spelled Doritos. There's not an E in there. So anyway, this pedophile has been fired by Doritos. After just 2 days, from the UK Daily Mail, Doritos fires trans activist 2 days after bringing her in as a brand ambassador after being alerted to sick tweets about doing depraved things to a 12-year-old. By the way, this is all the fact that corporations are doing this and the fact that Democrats love this stuff. I mean, they just fully endorse it. They love it. Is one more reason to vote for Trump. You know, We need laws. We need to start indicting the CEOs of these corporations that push transgenderism and pedophilia and grooming and child abuse, child mutilations. I think it's time to throw these activists in prison if they abuse children. Throw them in prison. I mean, obviously, crimes against children are crimes. Crimes of sexual violence against children. Throw them in prison. But also, go after Netflix. Go after the Hollywood movie producers. Go after the children's cartoon producers. Throw them in jail. Make it a crime to push pedophilia, grooming, transgenderism on children. Make it a crime. Imprison these people, including the CEOs of these corporations pushing this crap. If you hire a brand ambassador that goes out there and says that you want to do rapey things to 12-year-olds, you should go to jail for that. That is a crime. Now, think about it. In reality right now, in the UK, especially, and other European countries, it's a crime to criticize transgenders. But it's not a crime for them to promote pedophilia. Isn't that wild? It's a crime to criticize transgenders, or it's a crime to not use their pronouns. It's a crime to criticize immigrants, but it's not a crime to be an immigrant and rape somebody, rape a local citizen. That's not a crime. You get let off for that. You don't even get arrested for that. It's not a crime to beat up police officers in New York City if you're an illegal. It's not a crime to steal someone's house and squat in their house and just take it over, even a $2 million mansion. It's not a crime to do that. You are protected by the state if you do that. But if you criticize transgender grooming pedophiles, oh, now you violated the law. That's how twisted this is. This is why we need to vote for Trump. This is why we've got to have morality back in play in our country. We've got to start policing these activities of these corporations. We've got to actually throw these people in prison. That's my view on it. And that's never going to happen if Democrats are in charge, because Democrats, they are Satanists. They are pedophiles. They are the groomers. They are the child traffickers. They revel in that stuff. They love that stuff. All right. America's food supply is now under attack. Not only the Texas wildfires, which were, of course, engineered in order to destroy the cattle industry and destroy thousands, well, if not millions of acres in Texas that are used as cattle country. But Letitia James, the prosecutor, the New York State District Attorney, has gone after a beef company in the name of climate change. So she's filed a lawsuit against a meat producer known as JBS Foods and JBS USA Food Company as well, claiming that the meatpacking company was misleading the public about its environmental impact because the company claims that they would, quote, achieve net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2040 while still planning to increase production of their beef. And therefore, as James says, they will increase their carbon footprint. So this is now a crime? This is a crime? She says that companies are falsely advertising their commitment to sustainability. Wait a second. Don't all the climate change lecturing globalists fly around in private jets? Don't these corporations, these greenwashing corporations, say exactly the same thing? Like, we'll achieve net zero emissions by 2030. And then you go on their website and you find out, oh, because they're planting like 500,000 trees. Well, and then it turns out they're not really planting 500,000 trees. They're paying somebody to plant 500,000 trees. And then, oh, who are they paying? Some company that has a machine that drives across a piece of land and automatically like puts a little hole in the ground and plops a little tree in it and then just moves on. Whether or not the tree lives or dies is irrelevant. The tree was planted. It was planted, and that can count for reducing greenhouse gas net emissions. You've planted a tree. So the corporations are just buying off the climate change, you know, lunatics by just saying that they support net zero emissions, but these other corporations aren't changing what they do. They're still big time polluters. Look at Big Pharma polluting like crazy, dumping their pharmaceuticals into the rivers and streams. You know, the, I mean, The car companies are still making cars. They can talk about being all green and woke like Ford is. Hey, maybe Ford could hire the Doritos pedophile to be like their Ford Lightning truck. Maybe Ford could make it where you could like, you could have intercourse with the tailpipe. You could be like a trans truck molester or something. I don't know. Ford would probably think that's great. Like they have rainbow. Don't they have like rainbow electric trucks that don't even go anywhere and can't tow anything? But you can blow them, apparently, if you have the right spokesperson. So that's Ford. Ford's all woke. Maybe that's the only way they get anywhere. When the batteries stop, you have to blow on them, and then they move a little bit down the road. It's called, instead of locomotion, it's called blocomotion. That's probably the new Ford transgender solution right there. And if you ask their brand ambassador, why are electric vehicles better for trans truck sex? They would answer, because the lips burn on the tailpipes of combustion engines. That's the problem. They're too hot. Their lips burn. You see the problem there. That's why they have to wear so much lipstick, cover up all those burn scars. Yeah, these people are sickos. Anyway, Letitia James is going after the meat companies now as if, like, farming is bad. I mean, you've seen this in Europe, in the Netherlands, all across the EU. Farming is bad. They're shutting down the farms. Oh my God, how dare you farm? That's bad for the planet. Well, New York is going after meatpacking companies. You know what I think? This would be interesting. How about all the food companies in America just refuse to sell food to New York? Just like all the real estate people are now refusing to invest in New York because of the decision to go after Trump and punish him for the valuations on his properties that allowed him to get bank loans years ago or decades ago. And New York says, well, that was a crime. Even though the banks got paid back, the lenders made millions of dollars. They wanted more loans, more business from Trump. Trump did great. But Letitia James says, oh, no, that's a crime. Well, what if you sell food to New York? What if you're a farm in Pennsylvania and you're shipping food to New York? And then 5 years later, some lunatic left-wing, you know, climate cultist like Letitia James says, well, your food has too big of a eco footprint, and we're going to sue you for the, you know, for the soy patties or whatever you shipped to New York, you know, 5 years earlier. We're going to sue you for your climate fraud because you said this was green. And you're like, yeah, it was green. It's the plants are green. We grew them green. Photosynthesis. It's green. Well, we think you're lying and we're going to sue you. And we're going to fine you hundreds of millions of dollars. There goes your company. Why would anybody even do business with New York at all at this point? Why would anybody sell anything to New York? New York has become a lawless, corrupt cabal of like child grooming, you know, pedophile supporting lunatics, climate cultists. These people are insane. What? Maybe we should ban sales of our own store to New York. What do you think? Should we do that? Maybe some of you are listening probably from upstate New York and you're like, no. Some of you out in Long Island, you probably agree with us. You're like, no, we love your stuff. Don't ban sales to New York. But what if the DA of New York, you know, comes after us 5 years later? Oh, your vitamin C had an eco footprint, you know, 5% larger than what you said. We're going to sue you. Really? I would say as a Texan, come and take it, bitch. see how far that goes. Go blow your Ford Lightning truck for entertainment or whatever you do in your off hours. Leave America alone. These people are lunatics, absolute lunatics. So they want to shut down the food industry. And of course, the Texas wildfires are also obviously an engineered weapon system to try to punish Texas for halting illegal immigration. Well, I shouldn't say effectively halting, but trying to do something to slow down illegal immigration. And of course, the White House and the Biden regime, they hate that. So they're punishing Texas. So I've recorded a special report here. We're going to play it now about the Texas wildfires and how they are a staged attack on the beef industry. And it's also an assault on America's food security. So I'll be back on the other side to talk about Trump and more about the upcoming elections. Well, now you see the sabotage against the food industry really kicking into high gear with these Texas fires.
Now, they have become the largest fires in America and the largest fires in the history of Texas. These fires are so huge, out of control. Hundreds of structures have been burned, but what's really hitting hard is 6,000 cattle now dead. Thousands more will have to be culled because they've been burned. Their hooves have been burned so badly that they'll suffer infections and they have to be put down. It's a real tragedy. And it's very clear that direct energy weapons were used in these fires. I mean, the governor of Texas, Governor Abbott, even sort of spoke about that recently. He said it's just so strange that the structures are burned to ash. Nothing left. He says in a normal fire, you still find something left behind, you know, like walls or something, depending on the structure, depending on the fire. But in this case, he says all these structures have been obliterated to ash. That's not normal. That's not a brush fire, folks. Brush fires don't turn homes to ash. Something else is at work here, something with much higher energy, much higher heat. And of course, it's targeting Texas. Now, understand that Texas has also been targeted with the federal government banning new LNG export permits. So natural gas, the whole industry has been targeted, and that affects primarily Texas. This was put in place after Texas refused to follow the Supreme Court demand that said Texas had to keep its borders wide open to allow an unlimited invasion of enemy combatants, i.e. illegals. And Texas said no. Governor Abbott said no. Paxton, the AG, said no. We're going to protect Texas. We have every right. This is an invasion of Texas. And we have the right under Texas law as well as federal law to protect our state and our nation. So then almost immediately, the Biden regime announces a ban on LNG exports, primarily affecting Texas. And then a few weeks later, suspicious wildfires, the largest in history, burning up the cattle industry, upon which Texas relies for, you know, some of its agricultural production, obviously. And the people of America rely on the food supply, the cattle beef supply, for some percentage of their consumption. And so this is clearly an attack on Texas, because Texas refuses to go along with the invasion of the United States. And by the way, it just came out, too, because of a FOIA request and then a lawsuit, that the Biden administration flew 320,000 illegals into the United States, not out, but in, took illegals and flew them into the U.S. and dropped them off with two-year work permits all across America. That's a government-organized invasion. That is treason. That is an effort to overthrow the United States of America. And of course, Democrats are going to try to give these illegals voting rights. You can count on that. That's half their plan, is just sweep tens of millions into the country and then give them the right to vote. And then the Democrats will have a forever majority and they won't have to cheat as much. That's their plan. So understand, as I've said many times, the United States illegitimate federal government, which does not represent the people, was not elected by the people. The Biden regime is a criminal cabal, and they are functioning as terrorists against the American people. They are terrorizing America. They are invading America. They are overthrowing America. And the food industry sabotage has been going on for 2+ years now. They have burned down something like 150 or more food facilities. And now they're burning out the cattle. They're doing it all on purpose. This is designed to put people in a state of desperation. This is engineered famine. This is exactly the same thing that Israel is doing to Gaza, engineered famine. They won't let the aid trucks in. The Gazans are starving to death. Children are starving. Women are starving to death in Gaza. Well, remember what I said earlier, everything that Israel is doing to Gaza is what the globalists plan to do to you. And it's happening now the early stages of it in the United States with the food industry sabotage. At the same time, Letitia James, the New York State Attorney General, who of course is responsible for lawfare against President Trump and forcing Trump to pay a $400 million fine or plus, and saying that Trump won't be allowed to operate his own businesses. I mean, talk about political persecution. Letitia James has filed suit against a major meatpacking company, one of the largest in America, claiming that they violated the climate somehow. I don't know all the details of the lawsuit, but it's a climate complaint, saying that the company lied about its impact on climate change or some bullcrap. So this is lawfare. This is another weapon to shut down the food supply in America by going after a meat packer. And again, this is all designed in order to put the American people into a state of famine, a state of desperation. It's going to cause food inflation, more food scarcity, of course, but they don't care. The entire government has been weaponized against the people. Understand, the government of New York, which, by the way, also passed a law that says they can take you out of your home and throw you into a quarantine death camp at any time, and that's perfectly legal now in New York. The entire government is here to exterminate you. They want to starve you out. They want to replace you. They want to kill you with the vaccine bioweapons, the depopulation jabs. They're using geoengineering and weather control. They're using directed energy weapons, DEWs. They're using plastics in the food supply. They're using herbicides, pesticides, every toxic chemical and gender bender that you can imagine is put into the food or the water, including fluoride, and the so-called compost, the soil, the farm soils, heavily contaminated with PFAS, forever chemicals, and of course, dioxins now in the food supply. They're doing everything they can to kill you off because they don't want you. They don't want you to live. They don't want America to exist. They're bringing in the replacements. So they need to kill you off and take your homes and take your businesses and shut you down. And that's what this is. And the Texas wildfires are just one chapter in this, just one vector. And many Black Americans are also waking up to this whole plan too, because, hey, if you're a Black American, guess what? They're here to exterminate you too. It's not just a war on whites. It's a war on all of us. Black, white, Christian, Jew, Muslim, you know, Asian, Hispanic. It's a war against all of us to try to exterminate us all and replace us with illegals. They don't want Americans to exist any longer. They don't want the idea of America, the Constitution, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the spirit of America. They're trying to squelch it so that there is no memory of America left. Why do you think Google is changing history and making everybody black? That's not a glitch. It's not a bug. It's not an accident. That's their plan. They're doing that on purpose. They're altering history. They're scrubbing Americans from history and replacing everybody with the new immigrants, the illegals. That's what you're watching. And you better wake up. I mean, I know you listening to this, you're already well aware, but to the American people, you better wake up. And it's what makes all this worse is the Ziocons, the Zionist conservatives that are out there applauding genocide, you know, applauding mass killing, applauding weaponized famine. How stupid can they be? That's what's going to be done against them. If you applaud those things, you lend support to those things, don't be surprised when it happens to you. That's exactly where this is headed. My goodness. The Ziocons, all they care about is, you know, killing as many Arabs and Muslims as possible, no matter what, violating human rights. And all they want is more political power so they can kill more people. That's a frightening tribe right there, the Ziocons. They do not have principles. They are not pro-life. They are pro-death. They just want power. They want their tribe to be in power to defeat the other tribes. But they do not operate with actual principles like you and I do. So don't fall in with the Ziocons. All they preach is war and destruction and death and suffering. Unbelievable. All right, folks, stay informed. There's a lot more for you, more interviews and podcasts coming at, of course, Brighteon.com and my website, naturalnews.com as well. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for joining me today. Take care.
All right, we're going to continue to talk about Trump now and the election victories. By the way, do you realize that Doritos would never hire a spokesperson or a brand ambassador who was a Trump supporter, but they apparently have no problem hiring a pedophile? And this is how twisted America's corporations are. You're considered radical or extreme or, you know, not able to function in polite society if you're a Trump supporter or if you're a conservative, if you're a Christian or a gun owner or an anti-vaxxer. But all these corporations are thrilled to have you on board if you, you know, rape children or if you traffic children, if you mutilate children. That's how sick these corporations are. Really, you should go through the grocery store and understand everything that's made by PepsiCo, and you should just flat out stop buying it. And by the way, if you go look at all the brands that are owned by PepsiCo, it's Muscle Milk, Ocean Spray, Kavita, Lipton Teas, Gatorade, Starbucks, you know, Mountain Dew. Let's see, what else? Dole, Captain Crunch cereals. What else do they have here? Health Warrior is owned by PepsiCo. Yeah, really? Health Warrior. Lay's, I'll bet. Ruffles, Cracker Jack, Cheetos and Doritos. Maybe Cheetos will have a pedophile brand ambassador as well. They can have like Cheetos and Doritos and pedophile Pastaroni Ritos. Pastaroni is another brand owned by them. A Quaker, Tropicana. Yeah. If you buy any of these products, you're supporting a company that hires pedophiles. Okay. That's the straight up truth. And that also produces a bunch of crap processed junk food that has, you know, monosodium glutamate and GMO ingredients in it and pesticides and herbicides at trace levels in their foods. This is just the PepsiCo company is just the scourge of society. The PepsiCo is to the food industry what Google is to tech, you know, just evil incarnate. It's like the world would be so much better off without Google or PepsiCo even in existence. You know, if consumers made better choices and just put PepsiCo out of business, just boycotted them into oblivion, the world would be a much better place. All right, let's shift gears from food assassins to actual political assassins. According to an article at Semaphore.com, FBI hunts for suspected Iranian assassin targeting Trump-era officials. I shouldn't laugh. This is a real thing, apparently. From the story, the U.S. government is intensifying a manhunt for an Iranian intelligence operative who the FBI believes has been plotting to assassinate current and former American officials, including one-time Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. So the FBI Miami field office issued a public alert seeking information on Majid Dasjani Farahani. Pretty cool name right there. That's the full experience. That's full on Farsi right there. A suspected member of Iran's Ministry of Intelligence and Security, who the Bureau alleges has been recruiting individuals for operations in the U.S. to include lethal targeting of current and former USG officials. Now, this is wild, given that the U.S. government basically had Gonzalo Lira murdered in a Ukrainian prison. So, you know, if anybody's killing people, it's the U.S. government. And what have they done to Julian Assange, by the way? You know, you can't say, well, oh, Iran has assassins. Well, hey, U.S. government policies killed Gonzalo Lira and are killing Julian Assange and have killed how many other people all over the world and across the United States? But anyway, apparently there's an Iranian assassin, if you believe the FBI. Now, why would the FBI even care if there's an assassin that's targeting former Trump officials? Seems like the FBI would probably be in on it, doesn't it? You know, maybe the FBI ran this guy and then had a falling out with him, and now they're trying to get him arrested. That's probably more likely. Maybe this guy screwed up some assassination attempt. Like, he was supposed to take out Mike Pompeo or somebody like that, and he failed. And now the FBI is like, oh, we got to cover our tracks. Let's arrest this guy. I mean, I don't trust any official announcement out of the FBI. There's usually some other element to this story. Anyway, the story says that the DOJ convicted an alleged Iranian operative in 2011 of working with the Mexican drug cartels to assassinate Saudi Arabia's former ambassador to Washington when he was dining at a Georgetown restaurant, or at least they attempted to. Wow. Iran has vowed over the past 4 years to avenge the 2020 death of Major General Soleimani. Soleimani was assassinated by the Trump administration with a drone strike in Baghdad. And Soleimani was a very big deal in not just Iran, but also in the Middle East. And Soleimani, as I understand it, was one of the architects of the training Hamas to build the tunnels under Gaza, or at least he was involved in it. He helped Hamas become more proficient in what they were doing. So Trump assassinates Soleimani, who was a very widely respected leader among certain factions in Iran. And so apparently Iran has now assassins running around America. So, you know, hey, why is the FBI all worried about one or two assassins, but not about the 320,000 enemy combatants that the Biden regime just flew into America, by the way? That's another big story. 320,000 illegals were flown into the United States of America by the Biden administration. This is from the UK Daily Mail. Biden administration admits flying 320,000 migrants secretly into the U.S. to reduce the number of crossings at the border. Oh, yeah, look, the border traffic's not that bad. Where'd they all go? Oh, we're flying them in. Just flying them and depositing them in cities. The Biden regime, the federal government, is paying to invade America with mostly military-age males, many enemy combatants, many terrorists who are just being positioned across America, to the point where even Elon Musk tweeted out, or X'd out, however you say it now, that there's something brewing that's bigger than 9/11. Something brewing. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. I don't know if he used the word brewing, but he said essentially that. And Trump warning that if Biden remains in power, America will be destroyed. So why is the FBI not concerned about not just the 320,000, but the millions of illegals that have crossed the border, but they're concerned about one assassin or a couple of assassins? We got millions of enemy combatants in America. Our country has been overrun. The FBI says nothing about that. The DOJ says nothing about that. Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? All right, you know what? Real quick, let's talk about Victoria Nuland for a minute. Now, Victoria Nuland is, like I said earlier, truly, in my opinion, a satanic, infested demon creature. She's called an institution in Washington, D.C., because she's been part of the State Department through multiple presidencies, and she has driven policies of extreme anti-Russia hatred. She was primarily responsible for the 2014 Maidan coup in Ukraine and the installing of Zelensky as the puppet comedy president. Victoria Nuland has been trying to destroy Russia for a very long time. And she runs false flag operations and she runs color revolutions. And she is just truly one of the most evil depictions of the very worst parts of the history of the U.S. empire. I mean, she is just a wretched, wretched creature. Kim.com tweeted out something, I think a very good overview here. Quote, the rat is leaving the sinking ship. By the way, Kim.com has very insightful tweets, by the way. Always worth reading. Very smart individual, regardless of what you think about his, you know, his politics or whatever he did in tech, but very insightful. You should check him out. Kim.com, just like it sounds, on X. Anyway, he says the rat is leaving the sinking ship, referring to Victoria Nuland. Victoria Nuland's Ukraine project has utterly failed, and the shadow president of Ukraine resigns, because she's really in charge of Ukraine, resigns from the U.S. government in disgrace. She will be remembered as the coup manager, the proxy war aficionado, Nord Stream plotter, and F the EU lunatic who has killed hundreds of thousands and wrecked Ukraine. Yes, yes, that should be etched into Victoria Nuland's dark soul. All the deaths that she's responsible for. I mean, she should go down in history as kind of like a minor demon version of Pol Pot or, you know, Mao or someone like that. She hasn't killed millions yet. Thank God she's resigned, but she's definitely killed hundreds of thousands. Anyway, Kim.com continues, quote, "This is a clear sign that the U.S. proxy war in Ukraine is coming to an end. Russia has won. The West has lost. Europe has wrecked its economic engine with self-harming sanctions." Yeah, exactly. And this is what I've been saying here as well. "NATO will be busy selling U.S. arms to scared EU nations who will forever fear Russia's revenge. And leaders across the West will be kicked out of power at the next election. Relations between the EU and the U.S. will sour substantially." Well, that's because the U.S. has wrecked the EU by destroying Nord Stream. I mean, the U.S. has done so much damage to European nations, especially Germany, that if the German leaders had any sense whatsoever, they would declare war against the United States, not Russia. I mean, Russia's willing to sell them energy. The United States just blows up your infrastructure. Who's the real enemy from Germany's point of view, right? Continuing, Antony, he typos that, it's really Antony, Blinken will have to explain to his son, who likes to dress up as Zelensky on Halloween, how his daddy betrayed his son's hero and all Ukrainians. He will grow up to find out that his daddy is a serial liar and that he has the blood of hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians on his hands. Victoria Nuland doesn't have children who will be burdened with the shame of her despicable crimes. Vicky and her warmongering husband made millions from the U.S. proxy war in Ukraine and other warmongering activities. Imagine getting rich with mass murder. You must be totally deranged to find any happiness or good sleep in your life. To understand her deranged mind, watch this video by Gonzalo Lira, who had to die in custody in Ukraine for telling you the truth about vengeance-driven Victoria Noodleman Nuland. And then he links to a video, which I'm not going to play. But as you see, I'm not the only one who realizes that Victoria Nuland is pure evil, darkness, hatred, like a female Sith Lord of our modern world. If there were a human rendition of like Darth Vader gone bad, but not wearing a big mask, that would be Victoria Nuland. She's like the She-Vader, you know, she is, or the She Emperor.
Yeah. "Your Jedi mind tricks do not work on me."
You know, he's like, what? She's really pure evil. Now, moving on, Dr. Jane Ruby tweeted out, "What will happen when Donald Trump loses the 2024 presidential election?" And what she's referring to, of course, is what will happen when the election is stolen again. Now, I think it is generally understood that there's a limit to how much ballot stuffing is possible. I do believe that what the Democrats pulled off in 2020 is not possible in 2024, not at the same level, because there will be so much more scrutiny on the ballot mules and the ballot stuffing and the recounting of the same ballots over and over again. We are going to see so much more attention paid
during this election than 2020, it's going to be very hard for the Democrats to steal. Doesn't mean they can't do it. And as you know, they only have to steal it in certain swing states. And typically, it's the Democrats who are the ones counting the votes. And as we've seen from 2020, just everyday Democrats who are, you know, poll workers are more than willing to cheat. They are happy to cheat. They gladly cheat. You don't even have to pay them to cheat. They just do it willingly because they've been told to hate Trump. They've been told that Trump is a racist. When, in fact, the real threat against Black Americans in particular is the wave of illegals, not Trump supporters. It's the illegals that are being let in by the Biden regime. But it's going to be harder for them to cheat this time, although they could cheat to a certain extent. But here's a really important point. Donald Trump's popularity is surging. And we saw that with the voting just in the last 24 hours. Donald Trump, the people are so ready for Trump to be president again. It can't happen quickly enough. They need Trump in the White House tomorrow to stop the invasion, stop the insanity, stop the wars, stop the pedophiles and the grooming, stop it all. You know, election day can't come quickly enough. The question is Trump's level of support beyond the margin of cheating of the Democrats? And that question really can't be answered until you know who the Democrats are running. If they run Joe Biden, no doubt they lose. But none of us think they're going to run Joe Biden. They're going to remove Joe Biden, maybe under the 25th Amendment, or tell him to step down for health reasons, whatever. And they're going to throw in either Gruesom Newsom, you know the story, or Michelle Obama, as Roger Stone says, or Hillary Clinton, God forbid. She and Victoria Nuland, I think, will be co-chairs right next to Satan. When they both go to hell one day, I think they're going to team up in hell. They're going to be the hell creatures, like the enforcers of hell, the female enforcers or something. Because they're very similar. You notice the energy of Hillary Clinton and Victoria Nuland is very similar. Both just wretched, raging, nasty, ugly, dark creatures. Anyway, I'm sorry, I get carried away on that. Can't get Victoria Nuland's face out of my mind at the moment. That's highly disturbing. But depending on who they put in, that person could be popular. I think Michelle Obama would be very popular, even though she's obviously not qualified to be president at all. And some people say that she's not even a she, right? Big Mike, as the nickname goes. But she has said that she has no desire to run for president. Okay, well, maybe she's going to be VP. That's different. So it's probably going to be Gruesome Newsom. And you can bet the entire mainstream media is going to get behind Newsom. And they're going to say, look how great California is. But, you know, don't look at all these horrible examples of how San Francisco is collapsing and crime is out of control and taxation is unbearable and homelessness is rampant and there's needles and feces all over the streets. And don't look at that. They'll try to tell you that California is awesome because Newsom, well, they want to get him in the White House so that he can do to America what he already did to California, which is basically a destruction job. It's like he's a paid contractor to destroy California. And everybody who can has left California. I mean, even Sylvester Stallone. We reported that last week. You know, Stallone is like, I'm out of here. Let's move to Florida. You know, he's done. He's done with California. Everybody with money is done with California. Everybody who's in business is done with California. Every taxpayer that can leave is leaving. The only people left behind are basically those who couldn't afford to leave. They're trapped there. They're basically victims of Newsom. But we're going to be told that everything's great in California and that Newsom should rule America. So if it's Newsom versus Trump, Trump wins in an honest election. But could Newsom have enough support among Democrats to where they could, with enough cheating, they could beat Trump? Yeah, probably so. That's why stopping the cheating is going to be critical. Now, the more the establishment believes that Trump is going to win, the more desperate they will be to stop the election. You know, through false flags, World War III, nuclear terrorism, cyber attacks,
taking down the power grid, you name it. Any one of those things is possible, or even activating all the illegals that have already entered the country. Activation day, I call it, or purge day, whatever it is. But if they think they can win the election, they'll allow the election to take place. You see, if they think they can rig it, and then same thing will happen. The counting will start that evening and Trump will be in the lead. And then everybody goes to bed at 1 a.m. and then there'll be some magical mystery things that happen in the middle of the night at 3 or 4 a.m. and you wake up the next day. Oh, Trump loses again. That's what Jane Ruby is talking about. What will America do then? I think America will erupt, frankly. I think that if this next election is rigged, I think it would spark secession, civil war, the breakup of America. I think that states like Texas would say, that's it. This cannot continue. There would be emergency appeals to the Supreme Court to step in, stop the cheating, stop the terrorism by the Biden regime, stop the fraud. You know, the Democrats can only stay in power through criminal activities, election fraud, bribery, payoffs, coercion, intimidation. That's the only way Democrats have any power whatsoever. If America had honest elections, there wouldn't be any Democrats in power. They would all lose. Even in California, they would lose. California is so corrupt, like New York. But that's how they keep Democrats in power there, is through cheating and bribery and payoffs and coercion. It's got to stop or America will be destroyed. And I can tell you that states like Texas and a lot of similar states have just about had enough, and they will declare their independence. We are that close. You know, I voted in the Texas primaries, and I saw there were ballot measures on there for the Republican ticket. So I indicated Republican so that I could vote for Trump and Senator Ted Cruz and so on. And one of the ballot measures was about, should Texas have its own gold-backed currency? And another ballot measure was something about, should Texas be able to say no to federal government overreach? These are basically secession ballot measures. Now, they're not yet in the general election, but they're on the ballot for the Republican ticket, you see. Let me tell you, people in Texas have just about had enough. And the same is true in Florida. It's true in Tennessee. It's true, you know, it's true in Georgia. It's true in Oklahoma. It's true in Arizona, even for that matter, and many other states. More than half the states have just about had enough of all this criminality and tyranny and election fraud and money printing and global war and oppression, you know, from all the government, the federal agencies, oppressing the people, burning down the food infrastructure, shutting off energy exports, shutting down energy pipelines, basically trying to crush the American economy in the same way that the U.S. empire has crushed Europe's economy. You realize that the U.S. empire under this illegitimate leadership is at war with both America and Europe. It's at war with the people. It's at war with economic activity. It's at war with the food supply. It's at war with farmers. It's at war with Christians and gun owners and anybody who wants to work for a living and raise a normal, healthy, balanced family and doesn't want to mutilate their children. This establishment is at war with good people. And all they do is promote perverts and pedophiles and LGBT themes and a bunch of criminals and thugs like Victoria Nuland. That's who's in charge, and this has got to stop. We've had enough. That's the attitude of the American people. So either Trump wins or this country breaks apart. And even if Trump wins, we're probably going to be in a different kind of civil war as the left engages in this radical uprising and revolt to try to overthrow the country and to try to attack Washington, D.C. in that case, and to try to assassinate conservative leaders across America. I've issued this warning before. You know, like Texas Senator Ted Cruz, who I voted for. Ted Cruz should really think very seriously about his security, and perhaps he already does. I don't know. I do know a lot of people who work in security and, you know, former law enforcement, former special forces. I don't know anybody who's worked on Ted Cruz's security. I'm sure they're good.
But senators like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and so on, they need to be doubling and tripling down on their security measures, given, you know, not only is there this Iranian assassin running around America, apparently, according to the FBI, but also on activation day, I can guarantee you that some of these enemy combatants that have been placed in the U.S. have been given orders of who to hunt down and kill. There's no question that that's the case. I mean, I don't have any inside information. I'm just saying, connect the dots. All these countries that want to destroy America, including communist China and also Iran, and, you know, there are people radicalized from many countries, even including in the Middle East, for example, because America is supporting Israel's bombing of Gaza. So there are all kinds of radicalized people that are coming into the U.S., and they've been given orders. You can count on it. Some people have been given orders on Purge Day, you know, to go out and like bomb the refinery or something, or take down power grid substations. Some people have been given orders to probably hunt down and assassinate senators or governors, for that matter, or, you know, law enforcement, sheriffs, police chiefs. Have no doubt that these orders have been given, and maybe they're not written down on paper, but they've been given, and there's going to be an activation moment. I don't know what the signal is going to be, like a bat signal in the sky. I don't know, but something's going to happen, and these people are all going to activate and start following orders, and they're going to bomb railroads and bridges and ports and police stations, probably attack National Guard bases. And this is all by design, because America has depleted its ammunition by shipping it all to Ukraine. What do we have left in America to defend our country? It's basically going to be the citizens with their rifles. Fortunately, there are millions of us. I mean, like over 100 million of us. You know, ultimately, whoever tries to attack America from within is going to lose. I have no doubt. Because I know people like James Yeager, you know, and I know how many tens of thousands of people that Yeager and his firearms school have trained, by the way. And there are other firearms instructors and schools and concealed carry holders and, you know, law enforcement veterans and special forces, SWAT team guys, and also, you know, Navy SEALs, you name it, who know how to handle themselves. And whoever tries to attack America from within, yeah, they may have a shock and awe factor for the first, you know, 48 hours. They can do a lot of damage. They're going to take out a lot of infrastructure, no doubt about it. But then the American people are going to hunt those enemy combatants down, and they're going to ventilate those enemies on U.S. soil. Let me tell you, there will be no hesitation. No one can survive the Second Amendment when the Second Amendment is activated to defend America. No enemy force can survive it. Yeah, they can do a lot of damage, but then they're going to be hunted down and taken out by American men and women who are armed, who are trained. Again, many are law enforcement, many are veterans. Some are just everyday citizens carrying concealed. But I think that's what's coming if Trump wins. And we need to be ready for that. Now, we're going to jump into today's interview here. One silver lining in all of this is that, you know, this interview, we talk about this film, Grid Down, Power Up, which supposes that there could be an EMP takedown of the power grid or a cyber attack or other technical failures, solar flares, what have you. If you are prepared for the power grid to go down and stay down, you are also prepared for the purge day. You're prepared for the activation of the enemy combatants that are already in America. If you're prepared for the power grid to go down, you are prepared for a lot of things. Because a power grid failure is a very serious event. If it is sustained, an estimated 90% of the U.S. population would die. That's if the grid stays down for 9 months, I believe. That's a long time. I hope that does not happen, obviously. We all need electricity. But if it does happen, this country will never be the same. And I wouldn't put it past these people who are currently in charge to even take down the power grid themselves on purpose.
because they think that might stop the election and keep them in power a little bit longer. I wouldn't put it past them. There's nothing they won't do. There's no limit to the number of Americans that they will sacrifice or kill. I mean, look at Victoria Nuland. No limit to how many Ukrainians that she would sacrifice or how many Russians she would kill. As the body bags are stacking up, she might have even managed a smile on her creepy face. I'm not sure if her muscles are capable of smiling. They may not remember the neurology of what a smile actually looks like. But if anything would put a smile on her face, it's 500,000 dead and injured Ukrainians and, you know, 50,000 dead Russians or whatever the actual numbers are. You think they won't kill millions of Americans? Of course they will. Absolutely they will. Have no illusions, folks. They will kill any number of Americans to stay in power. So as you listen to this interview about the grid going down, double down on your own preparedness. So be sure to get yourself ready in every way that you can. And in fact, before we go to the interview, I'm just going to play a new ad I filmed for the Health Ranger store that just tells you what we have back in stock. We have a number of products back in stock that have been out for a long time. Got them back in stock. Check out that ad and then we'll jump into the interview. And you're going to learn a lot from this interview. This is really fascinating. So stay tuned for that. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Our interviews and content are made possible by your support for healthrangerstore.com. And today we've got a lot of products back in stock that have been very difficult to get. One of those is 5G Defense. 5G Defense contains this very potent and very expensive ingredient called SOD, superoxide dismutase. And what this does is it helps your body defend itself from the peroxynitrite, which are produced upon exposure to 5G signals or other electromagnetic signals that can penetrate through your skin, by the way. I mean, that's how cell phones work. They penetrate through building walls and vehicles and your skull and your skin. So that creates these very dangerous free radicals in your body that you've got to defend yourself against through a variety of methods. Good nutrition is one of the ways, good sleep, you know, lack of stress and avoiding inflammatory foods, but you can also supplement with 5G Defense. It's back in stock right now. If you show my page on the store here, 5G Defense powder, 1.2 ounces. This is very potent. It's a powder. You can blend it into any smoothie or drink very easily, and it's available now. So also back in stock, we have the Organic Turmeric Gold Plus, which has black pepper and ginger in it as well. This is available. Multiple bottles are a little bit less expensive. All lab tested, certified organic, and of course, non-GMO, and so on and so forth. We've got NAC, N-acetylcysteine, back in stock at the store as well. And that's something that's been difficult to get. Coconut oil back in stock. We've also got back in stock our Organic Seven Treasures Mushroom Powder, which combines seven potent functional mushrooms. You can see the label right there. It's got reishi powder, shiitake powder, cordyceps, all organic, turkey tail, maitake, chaga, and lion's mane powder. This is available in the powder form, not capsules currently, but in powder form. This can be blended easily into various drinks as well. So we've got these products and more available right now at healthrangerstore.com. And I think we've got freeze-dried organic corn in the number 10 cans as well. That's something that's been out of stock for a long time. So here we go. Long-term storable, essentially rodent-proof, number 10 cans, great for long-term storage. Freeze-dried, which retains the taste, the texture, the nutrients, the colors, good for a very long time. Just keep it, you know, closed up and then keep it in a place that's not hot or damp. Just keep it dry and cool, and this will last for many years. It's an excellent preparedness item. We've also got freeze-dried fruits and other vegetables as well. Just check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. In fact, if you go there, check this out. You can search for freeze-dried, as I'm doing here, and you can see yellow miso powder, apple, blueberries, corn, and show all results, and you're going to see all the different freeze-dried products that we have. Amazing. Lots to choose from. Yeah, here's mango and chopped kale and strawberry pieces and raspberries and so much more. So if you want real food, real certified organic, lab-tested, long-term storable food, for your survival pantry, we've got it for you. And we actually have good inventory right now because our production has been going quite well lately, amazingly. We have good relationships with suppliers, and we can't get everything we want, but we're getting a pretty good supply at the moment. So check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. And by shopping with us, you'll be supporting our platform, our work, our guests, our content, and the projects that we're working on to bring you more things that will benefit you and help you stay prepared. So thank you for all your support. God bless you. God bless America. Take care. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. And one of the most important issues that we deal with is the fragile nature of our power grid and how vulnerable we are to EMP weapons or solar flares. And since we have this highly complex technological society, understanding how vulnerable it is to disruptions in the functioning of the power grid or electronics, this should give us a lot of cause for concern about the sustainability and the reliability of our modern civilization. Well, today we're joined by David Tice, who's the producer of a new film called Grid Down, Power Up, which features Dennis Quaid, I believe, as the narrator, or one of the stars of the film. We'll find out the details. This film is available right now at griddownpowerup.com, and it's from Paul Revere Films, which is David Tice's company. Welcome, Mr. Tice. It's an honor to have you on today.
Well, glad to be on, Mike, and it's an honor to be on your program because I know you have some of the most astute listener viewers out there.
Well, thank you for that. We do indeed. We reach a lot of very influential people and a lot of people who make decisions about government and finance and so on. And that's why I'm so glad to bring this issue to their awareness today. Now, give us the big picture first. And of course, I'll have a bunch of questions for you. But tell us about the film, why you felt compelled to create this film, and Dennis Quaid's involvement in the film as well.
Okay, so the film is available on YouTube right now. We hope to have it available on Amazon soon. It's an hour and 5 minutes. We talk about four major threats to the grid: physical attack, cyber attack, EMP attack, and then also geomagnetic disturbance. We are trying to alert America. We have a facility by which people that view the film can write or make phone calls to their state legislators or federal legislators, their governor, the chairman of their state utilities commission, their state's adjutant general, as well as members of board of directors of their major utilities. We're trying to convert this movie into a movement, and we can do that if we get all your viewers to take that action and then tell their friends.
Let's share with people why this matters. You know, someone listening to this at first might think, well, what's the big deal? Did you enjoy your ancestors living in the 18th century with no electricity? Because life sucks in that way. And in fact, it's funny because we're doing this interview today. Facebook is down. Snapchat is down. YouTube is suffering outages. You know, the infrastructure of popular communication is down today as we're doing this interview. So there's a sign.
So we quote from the EMP Commission, which is actually a highly credentialed commission that operated for 17 years at the behest of Congress. And they found that if our power grid was down and out nationwide for 9 months or more, as many as 90% of Americans would die. Now, Mike, that's a big number because the most Americans we ever lost was in Galveston, I think, in the 1910s, and it was like 12,000.
Now, you're talking about 300 million people.
Exactly. Roughly. And this is truly fixable. In our documentary, we have people like General John Hyten, who is the former vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Newt Gingrich, Senator Angus King. We have Secretary of Energy Jennifer Granholm saying directly when asked on a Sunday morning talk show if our adversaries are in the grid and could they shut it down, and she responded affirmatively. So this is a big, big deal, and we need to – your viewers are the best people to get – this word out, and because we have this facility to reach out to legislators, regulators, let's make this happen.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting that we live in a time when our Congress is debating whether to send $60 billion to Ukraine and more to Israel and more to Taiwan. And that's not the subject of our talk today, but they're willing to send all this money out to other countries. But where's the investment in our infrastructure and the resilience of our nation? Now, I believe, David, you know that fixing this problem with America's power grid, at least making it resilient against EMPs, is solvable with a few billion dollars. Do you know roughly what's the right number for that?
We believe it's about $50 billion for EMP and GMD. We know there is software available, kind of a cyber cloaking software that could dramatically protect against cyber attacks on SCADA systems and microprocessors that is not that expensive per substation. We just need to wake up our regulators, essentially, and our agencies, because we have solved a number of policy battles in that CIPA, the Critical Infrastructure Protection Act, was passed back in 2016. And we've passed an executive order back in 2019 under Donald Trump that was codified into law in the 2020 National Defense Authorization Act. But there was a lot of delegation to DOE and DHS, and those agencies have simply not followed through. The other problem is we have regulatory capture in that we count on FERC and NERC. It's a bit of alphabet soup here, but yeah. Those regulators have let us down.
Well, okay, so that's really interesting that you say that, because in the winter of 2021, I believe it was, in Texas, we suffered a severe failure of the power grid, nearly lost the Texas grid, which is its own grid. And that was a wake-up call, and that was just due to cold weather. But it showed that even in Texas, which is a high energy state, lots of energy, but even Texas didn't have a reliable power grid at the time. Now, that's, you know, ERCOT, E-R-C-O-T, is what runs the Texas power grid, and they've made a lot of improvements since then. But just recently, we had an AT&T outage that was widespread across the country, and also there was a cyber attack on a pharmaceutical, I think it was a pharmaceutical supply company that caused outages in the ability of pharmacies to get medicines. So we're seeing cyber attacks, we're seeing natural events, and it makes me wonder just how ill-prepared we really are.
We are so ill-prepared, and Ted Koppel talks about in his book Lights Out from 2015, how there's no real plan to come back from a nationwide cyber attack. And our regulators have essentially been asleep at the switch. There is technology available, something called zero ground blockers that will protect against GMD, geomagnetic disturbance. And essentially, this is so fixable, Mike.
Yeah. Well, that's what's frustrating about this, is that this is a problem we know how to solve, but there has to be political willingness to resolve it. And let's get back to, you mentioned the EMP Commission report that had estimated that up to 90% of the U.S. population could die if we lose the power grid for an extended period of time. I think it's critical for our audience to understand the methods of how those deaths occur, because it's gruesome. This is not pretty. The cities will stop functioning. You won't have a water supply. You won't have heating and cooling. And essentially, things will erupt into chaos. You'll have people dying from cholera, you know, preventable diseases as sewage systems fail, for example. You'll have other people dying from violence as gangs take over certain cities, like probably Los Angeles and so on. It's not a pretty picture, and it's all preventable. So why are people reluctant to look at the reality here, do you think?
It is a conundrum. I mean, it is amazing when you consider how bad it could be. And you pointed it out well about how municipal water systems are dependent upon the power grid. I visited the municipal water system in Dallas that serves Highland Park, and there's no backup. They thought about generators a few years ago and dismissed that idea. And you mentioned wastewater. You know, the fact that if wastewater is not taken care of, then we have these massive diseases. And you mentioned cholera and a number of others. And you mentioned the fact that if you have food and your neighbor doesn't, and your neighbor has a 10-year-old child who's starving or who's dying of thirst because human beings need water every 3 days, you know, that neighbor who you might have seen on a soccer field might, you know, hold a gun to your head and say, Johnny's dying, you know, right, give me some food. And therefore, it can happen. Now, people realize there's a problem. I'm saying we need a Manhattan Project. So a lot of people saw the movie Oppenheimer that did about $1 billion in sales globally.
Wow.
That's what we need, because we need this massive project. Dr. Peter Pry, who we dedicated the film to, you know, wrote a book on that subject. And it's ridiculous that we need that big of a project just to overcome, you know, bureaucratic obstacles and inefficiency. But that's what we need.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You're right. He's been sounding the alarm for many years before he passed away, and his message is dearly missed. I'm glad you dedicated the film to him and his important work. Now, right now, what's the easiest way that people can watch the film?
So they should go to go to YouTube and just search for Grid Down Power Up. And we have a very comprehensive website that talks about solutions. And under the participate tab, you can make the outreach to those individuals I spoke about.
Okay.
We also have a 7-minute version of the film that if you want to get to the bottom of the 4 threats quickly, because it seems like we all have ADHD today. And if you want to send that to your friends, and then you can watch the whole film.
And what role did Dennis Quaid have in the film?
So Dennis is our narrator, and he cares about this project, but he is becoming a nationwide spokesperson. He has volunteered his time recently. He has taken a trip to Austin, Texas with me, and we visited the governor's mansion and the Speaker of the House residence, as well as I've taken him to D.C. We had a showing on Capitol Hill at the Capitol Visitor Center Auditorium. We had about 150 staffers in attendance, as well as a couple congressmen, and 4-star General Wesley Clark addressed the crowd through a surrogate.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic. I'm glad that it's getting out there. What has the reaction been so far from people seeing this film and realizing this issue for the first time?
So I take the viewers, Mike, through a range of emotions. First of all, there is shock, and then there's disbelief, and then there is anger, and then there's frustration, and then there's outrage, and then there's a little bit of despair. And at the end of the film, we try to bring on patriotism and a can-do attitude, and we can fix it. But frankly, the reaction from the crowds are, wow, I did not know this. We got to fix this. And so that's where we are.
Now, let's talk about solar, because I've been proficient in solar energy for many years, but what I came to find out that most people do not know is that most solar systems are grid tie systems. So when the grid goes down, their solar goes down. And the average solar owner does not have any clue that that's the case. They think solar is going to work when the grid's down. It doesn't for most cases, unless you have an off-grid solar system, which is very rare. And the battery technology for that is not good. It's not well developed. It's very expensive, not mature, not reliable. And good luck trying to run, you know, air conditioning and things like that off of battery backup systems. So we don't really have good alternatives to the power grid, unless you want to run a big diesel generator and feed it diesel fuel all day, which is a very expensive way to have power. I mean, it works. I have a tractor powered diesel generator that I've used but I can afford to buy diesel. Not everybody can, you know?
Exactly. So we have a sponsor in our film, RU Solar, and they will provide you can have a phone call with their consultants and they will talk you through what's available. And like you say, you can add batteries to your system. And I think the batteries are getting better, and you've probably forgotten more about solar than I know, Mike, and I'd love to talk to you more offline about that. But I think you can flip a switch and essentially get off the grid and therefore powered by your own solar with your own battery. And it may not be perfect, but I think it is an option that will help you survive.
Well, you're right. The lithium ion batteries are getting much better, and that's the way to go on that. And if installed properly, like you said, with a switch to take you off the grid, to run an off-grid mode, then yes, you can use solar off-grid. And again, you're gonna need a lot of batteries. Now, the lithium ions have much better, you know, life and cycling compared to the old style batteries. So things have improved, but lithium isn't cheap either, and the batteries aren't cheap. And I did the math on putting a system like that into my ranch one time, and it was with the batteries and the inverters and the controllers that I would need to run everything, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I was like, wow. I mean, you know, to go full off-grid, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So we're not quite there yet in terms of the economics, but I know that people can augment their existing power draw very affordably with solar as long as everything's working.
Yeah, and I think we will realize, you know, the luxuries, you know, that we are used to, you know, we can do without. I mean, we need some cooling for our food, for our refrigerators, et cetera, you know, but then we can read during the day and go to bed early and, you know, get by with, you know, when it's hot in the shade, you know, we can survive. I mean, but Americans need to get right, you know, spiritually, I believe, and that they need to realize that some of the conveniences are not going to be there. And we just have to get ready.
Well, I completely agree with you, but I would reply to that with this one piece, which is that homes built in the 1960s and 70s in America were in hot climates, let's say Arizona and Southern California and in many parts of Texas, they were built with the assumption that there was not air conditioning. So they were built, you know, with very, very high ceilings and more openness, designed to let the air move through the structure, right? But since HVAC technology became, you know, readily affordable, the homes that have been built in the decades since, in order to appease the energy efficiency ratings systems, they have become sealed up boxes with very little air exchange outside the home. So this gives them a green rating because it takes less power to cool them. But when the power grid goes down, those modern homes, those two-story boxes, they cook. They're ovens. There's no airflow. They're not habitable in places like, you know, Arizona and so on. You're going to be camping in the backyard.
Exactly. That's a scary time. But all the more reason we need to create this outrage. We need to create ticked off mama bears and soccer dads. We need a outrage like Howard Beale from the movie Network, you know, talked about. We're pissed off. We're not going to take it anymore. And frankly, it's simply ridiculous. Like you said, we're spending, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars, you know, abroad, you know, nearly $100 billion to Ukraine. And this is so fixable. And we need to get... We need to overcome this regulatory capture. We need amendment of the Federal Power Act and have better regulation. Frankly, we need a grid czar. You know, If you watch the movie Oppenheimer, Matt Damon played the famous character General Leslie Groves, and he was essentially a badass that would break down doors. And that's what we need to overcome, this bureaucratic ineptitude. And there are quick fixes available. And we need that grid czar to be able to crack heads and say, let's get this fixed. Because truly, we are at such risk, I think, in April, May, and August, in terms of a potential Chinese invasion in Taiwan. Kyle Bass, who's a friend of mine, did a speech that you can find on YouTube to the Hudson Institute. And he talked about that the current levels are such that for the Chinese to land, it would probably need to happen in April, May, and August.
Right, right. Because of the tides, the currents, everything, conditions. I've read about that as well. And Kyle Bass is someone whose opinion I greatly respect, by the way. He knows what he's talking about. But let me ask you, David, what compelled you to get involved in this project? Because, you know, it's a huge undertaking, as you're well aware.
Yes, it is. And this is really my third career. I had a career as an investment manager. I used to run a $1.6 billion mutual fund. I ran the Prudent Bear Fund. Okay. And so I've been a Cassandra warning people about overvaluation. So I have a little bit of a Paul Revere background. And so I realized just a couple years ago that my grandkids were 4, 3, 2, 1. Houston, we have a problem. I realized that the probability of them having a massive solar storm that could shut down the grid in their lifetime was a very, very high probability, because there have been NASA reports that there's a 12% probability every decade that the grid would, that a big enough solar storm similar to the Carrington event would occur that would knock out the grid. The other contributor to my thought process was that I've had the highest ranking Soviet spy who ever defected from the Soviet Union. He was a GRU member, and he had consulted with the Chinese, talking about coming after the United States and actually an invasion of the United States.
Wait, are you talking about Bezmenov or someone else?
Stanislav Lunev.
Oh, okay.
Who's written a book, Into the Eyes of the Enemy, I think it was. And he testified in front of Congress with his voice disguised behind a screen. And so that, you know, obviously had an impact on me, and therefore I fear. And then you look at where we are today, Mike, with the potential for the third theater of war opening up with China, Taiwan. And then you look at our open borders, where I can't imagine how many thousands, if not tens of thousands, of sleeper cells have entered our country just waiting for a signal.
Oh, my. Yeah, you've really hit upon a real sore spot for us here in Texas. You know, we have a new law kicking in just a few days that will allow Texas law enforcement to arrest illegals and charge them with trespass. And the Fifth Circuit Court just reinstated that law a couple days ago. And I've spoken with Texas law enforcement, and they can't wait to start making arrests, but it's not clear what's going to happen after that point. The jails are already full, by the way. The jails are full all across the border states. So I don't know what law enforcement is going to do, but that's a separate topic. What you mentioned, the NASA study, 12% chance every decade of a major EMP event that could take down the U.S. power grid. Now, roughly, that's about a 1% chance per year. And if you think about it, I've covered that same study many times, and I've tried to tell people, if your civilization has a 1% chance per year of being utterly obliterated, that is a crazy, unacceptable risk. I mean, you're betting everything on this, and every year there's a 1% chance that you lose your nation. Are you kidding me? That we should push that risk down to 1 in 1,000. you know, a couple orders of magnitude less risk is what would be acceptable. Not 1%. Do people realize that we're like walking on landmines every day, and we can't control the sun, obviously, not to mention the cyber events and everything else.
So here's a different way of looking at that, Mike. So I had to go back to my statistics books and refresh my memory on this. But so a 12% probability every decade means, and there's an 88% chance it won't happen this decade. And therefore, if you want to link going forward, you don't link the 12%, but you link the 88%.
Right.
And therefore, so if you're going to live
0.88 times 0.88 every decade, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's why I made that point about my grandkids, because my grandkids, I expect to live 9 decades. And therefore, 0.88 to the 9th power means
that's a small number.
Yeah. Which means there's only a 20% chance or something that it won't happen
right.
in their decade. And therefore, there's an 80% chance it will happen.
Right.
So
I'm so glad to talk with somebody who understands statistics and risk. You're exactly right. In several decades, there's like an 80% chance that this will happen. It's almost a certainty.
Yeah,
exactly. And that doesn't even cover the human caused risks, right? So what you were just talking about, and I apologize for interrupting you, but
no,
I get excited when people understand statistics. it's kind of the geek comes out, but, those are the things that we can't control. The things that are human caused may be even greater risk, such as cyber attacks or even a nuclear EMP. You know, in the news recently, it was alleged that Russia had launched some space-based nuclear weapons of some kind. Did you see that?
Yes. So, Mike, I've followed you for a long time and so respect your acumen and the way you connect dots. So I truly think this is just a connect the dots exercise. I mean, you look at how much Iran hates us. We look at what Xi has said from China, how he wants to dominate. We know he wants to be, you know, the greatest ruler in Chinese history. And that's going to involve reunification with Taiwan. And therefore, it's obvious that with all these potential sleeper cells, I mean, it's so obvious that something's coming.
Yeah. Oh, actually, on that point, news broke today from a lawsuit regarding a FOIA request that the Biden administration has flown 320,000 illegals into the United States to bypass the border. Flown them into. I mean, it's a straight up act of treason in my view. I don't know any other way to describe it. The officials in this administration need to be simply arrested and prosecuted for crimes against the United States of America, as far as I can tell. But that's not going to happen since they're in power. So things are just going to get worse.
I just say, watch the film, tell your friends. I hope your viewers will, after they utilize the participate tab, and you can actually add to those pre-written letters. You can actually make phone calls and get as an example, Ted Cruz's, Chuck Schumer's voice message. I'm sorry to put those two in the same sentence. I shouldn't have done that, Ted.
they are occasionally in the same room. They're on the same panels. But excellent point. This is about taking action to encourage our federal government to do something about this.
Exactly. And then tell your friends, you know, please send the link to 50 of your friends. This can create a movement, but unfortunately, not enough people have heard about it yet. And it's such an honor to be on your program.
Well, you know, it's also people, they don't realize how valuable electricity is until they lose it. Everything just seems automatic. Oh, the computer works, the refrigerator works, the air conditioning works, the plumbing works, the sewage system works. And then if you start to lose power in a city, all of a sudden, very quickly, it becomes apparent how valuable that power was, how cheap electricity was. You know, to pay 10 cents for a kilowatt hour of power, that's the bargain of a lifetime, if you think about it. It does so much for you.
Yeah, it really is. So, Mike, I know people have accused you in the past of being a little conspiratorial, and they have me as well. And I'm proud to take that banner because I know I'm right, you know, and to believe. But you look at this Barack Obama financed movie, Leave the World Behind, you know, that just came out in December on Netflix. That was a high ranking, you know, highest ranking show. And they talk about, you know, they didn't specifically talk about the grid was out, although New York City looked pretty dark in the background.
Yes.
And they talked about how, you know, planes were crashing and oil tankers were crashing onshore. And we had Teslas all going to the same place and crashing. I mean, that was essentially the result of SCADA systems and microprocessors inside, you know, navigation systems being distorted by, you know, a cyber attack. And so, but is that a signal from, you know, some people saying this is coming? You know, I tend to think so.
That's really interesting. I did watch that film, and I even did a podcast on it. I think it's important for people to watch, and understanding the foreshadowing that was in that film. And you notice too how they portrayed the Kevin Bacon character as kind of a redneck prepper survivalist person who was the bad guy for saying, I think, no, you can't have my food, essentially. That kind of attitude, you know, like, look, I prepare extra to help through local churches and so on as much as I can. We do routine donations, but there's a limit. You can only do so much. And if other people haven't prepared, a sense of desperation is going to creep in very quickly, or starvation. And you know, David, starvation changes people's personalities. You know, you spend 3 weeks without food, you're not the same person.
Yeah, it certainly did. And so you mentioned earlier, Mike, about this AT&T outage. I found it interesting. I'm sure you heard this, where Eric Prince, the founder of Blackwater, was on Bette David's show, and he estimated with a 70% probability in his mind that was a Chinese attack as a test run.
Really? Well, if that's the case, then it proved China was able to confirm that they have mapped out our vulnerabilities.
Yeah. And now you have the Facebook today. So I think we're getting closer. And, you know, just God bless America.
Well, God bless Texas as well. That's I have a Texas flag here and a Texas Rangers pin on. But you met with the governor of Texas, you mentioned, and Texas has its own power grid, which is unique across the United States. Do you have any indication that Texas is working to harden its own power grid?
So CenterPoint Energy, which is the largest utility in Houston, cares about this. And we mentioned this in the film where a senior vice president, John Houston, actually listened to one of Bob Hall's failed legislative approaches. This was maybe 4 or 6 years ago, and he got his engineers to invent an EMP protection. So there's talk that they plan on implementing this EMP protection for 100% of their substations. So I'm very proud of them. But in terms of Texas, generally, we still haven't passed a bill, you know, with four different failures. And that was the result of a bit of a stalling mechanism that some of the leadership in the Texas legislature can execute. This grid protection bill passed the Senate unanimously, and it never came to a vote in the House.
Really?
And so we tried to make outreaches to the governor and to the speaker, and but we need to do a better job this next session in 2025, and I hope to get something done there.
Yeah, because when the lights go out, it's too late at that point. And restarting a grid from nothing, from a blackout state, is incredibly complex and would take probably years to get, let's say if Texas lost its power grid, wouldn't it take years to get Texas back online?
So there's something called a black start, you know, which is the process to bring it back. And it's, you know, highly, frankly, it's never been executed. There are conceptual, you know, game plans and procedures how it should be done. And you need some power from an outside source to create the spark for that black start. And we're hopeful that could happen, but it hasn't been done before.
Wow. So we're betting our lives on a theory. If something bad does happen, how do we restart? From what I'd read before, they would have to start with small areas, like a few neighborhoods at a time, and then add more capacity and then connect more neighborhoods, add more capacity, turn on another section of the grid and so on. And it would be a slow process. And there's a lot of equipment, as I understand it. Perhaps you know more than I do on this, but when the grid, if the grid fails, there's a lot of equipment that is permanently damaged and has to be replaced. Have you heard that as well?
Oh, that's definitely the case. And if we're talking about a GMD or an EMP, we're talking about sensitive electronics, or if we're talking about, you know, the cooling systems to be able to protect, you know, some of the motors, then if they go out, you know, they are permanently damaged and just have to be replaced. So our film talks a lot about transformers, and Peter Pry, you know, has labeled them more the Achilles heel in terms of, and we do not make enough of these high voltage transformers in the United States. That's one of the things that we need. We need a, just like we have a strategic oil reserve, we need a strategic transformer reserve.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because I remember reading that some of those transformers are incredibly large. They have to be delivered even by rail. They're so heavy, and we don't make them. Some of them, I understand, are made in China, and aren't some also made in Europe? Where do they come from?
So the primary two countries where they're sourced is South Korea and Germany. We have a small manufacturing capability in the United States. We need a Defense Production Act. That's one of the things that we're lobbying for in DC, you know, which is what we did for the vaccine. Although I know you and I both are opposed to what happened with the vaccine. But we need a Defense Production Act. We need more domestic manufacturing capability. And there's 400 some transformers made in China. And there are a number that are within 50 kilometers of military bases. And that's simply, you know, unfathomable and unacceptable.
Wow. All right. Let me remind our viewers, the website is griddownpowerup.com. And that there's a button there where to watch. You can find this on YouTube. And I hope at some point we would love to partner with you to run this on, you know, Brighteon University or some of our other platforms as well, when the time is right for that, David. We want to help you spread the word about this and sound the alarm.
Let's talk tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. If you'll stick around after this, I'll give you my number and we can communicate that way. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap this up?
I would just say, let's get this done. And at the end of the movie, we've got a patriotic conclusion. And I say, choose power up, not grid down. And yeah. America did overcome, you know, some massive obstacles in the past. And when our back was up against the wall, I mean, we did the space program. We had the Manhattan Project. We converted our manufacturing economy to an arsenal of democracy to defeat Nazi Germany. We ended up overcoming, you know, racial segregation with the civil rights movement. We can fix this.
Absolutely, we can. The American spirit is strong. We have great innovation. If we're not, you know, held back by government policies. Actually, I have one more question for you. Since you ran a mutual fund, you said, during those years, did you ever imagine we would be at $34 trillion in government debt with $1 trillion added every 100 days?
I never imagined that. No, I never did. I'm a subscriber to the Austrian School. And so the Austrian School of Economics, which is Ludwig von Mises, Murray Rothbard, Joseph Schumpeter, and essentially a key tenet of the Austrian School is the magnitude of any decline is proportional to the excesses created during the prior boom.
Yep.
And therefore, if you look at, as you mentioned, at $34 trillion of debt, and you look at, I mean, the excesses are unfathomable. And therefore, that's going to tell you the magnitude of a potential decline.
It's, you know, I'm a follower of Austrian economics as well. But of course, that's been replaced in the minds of our current policymakers by MMT, which I call magical monetary theory, that supposes that money printing has no consequences, that governments can print endless amounts of money. It will never cause inflation or devaluation of the currency, and that effectively there's no limit to how much money printing can take place. And it seems like this is exactly what the current administration has been following. I mean, we're at a $1 trillion almost every quarter now. It seems to me like this cannot, I mean, this is not sustainable, which means by definition it must end. I know that's not what we called you on here to talk about, but do you have any idea of how this ends?
So what's interesting, Mike, is I think there's going to be, you know, a combination effect of what's going on geopolitically and economically. And we know our adversaries cannot stand U.S. hegemony and how you mentioned those massive debts, but then – you know, we still rule the world economically and our dollar is relatively strong. And therefore, I think it's likely, and China and Russia have said this, that they would like to bring down U.S. hegemony. And this strong dollar has been hell on emerging nations. And the BRICS are getting stronger. A new chairman of the BRICS is Russia's guy. And I think they're likely to, you know, combine, you know, likely an attack on U.S. Critical civilian infrastructure, potentially aircraft carriers down the road. And then suddenly we're not going to look nearly as strong on the economic side.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really important point. Our ability to project military power is actually tied to the global perception of faith in our currency. And right now, show my screen, gold is at $2,128. That is basically a vote of non-confidence in the dollar. And this is, I think this is the record high, or it's very close to it.
Close. I think we got to 2150 for about 15 minutes, you know, like a month ago. But this is very close.
Yeah. It's, gold is spiking. Bitcoin is spiking. Food prices continue to rise. So dollar devaluation is here. And it's kind of like one of my concerns, even about getting back to your movie, is that our government's going to be so preoccupied in survival mode, trying to survive like a debt collapse or World War III or something like that, nobody's going to have any bandwidth to deal with the power grid.
You're exactly right. And we know that's part of the plan. So,
wow. All right. Well, anything else you want to add, David, before we wrap this up?
Okay. Last thing is Mike Adams is the guy. So you make it happen. And so great show. And your listeners are lucky to have you. So.
Well, thank you. I appreciate hearing that. But, you know, on this topic, you're the guy. And it's your movie that's making waves out there. Oh, and let me add one thing. Your movie should appeal. I mean, you and I have been talking here. We tend to be more conservative on fiscal issues and so on. But the power grid affects everybody, regardless of your politics. I mean, Democrats need power as much as conservatives and independents, right?
So we do have a you know, 45 seconds in our movie talking about California, and we talk about how this is a bipartisan cause. So your listeners, viewers can send this to your liberal friends, because California back in 2018 passed unanimously two bills. Here are the legislatures, probably 75% Democrats, but imploring U.S. Congress and the U.S. president to protect our power grid against EMP and GMD.
Yeah, but it doesn't, nothing's happening yet on the ground. But I understand that's a step in the right direction.
But it ended up being a hollow legislation.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to set up one of their internal departments for recovery from disaster. They were told to prepare against EMP and GMD, and they really have done nothing in that area.
And you know, the entire city of Los Angeles is fed by water that's pumped over a mountain using electricity, a power grid there that's powered, I think, in large part for those pumps, natural gas actually powers that. So if you lose the grid, you lose water in LA. How many hours would it take for LA to descend into absolute chaos if the power grid went down?
Pretty damn fast.
Yeah.
3 days without water. Remember, that's part of the rule of three is 3 days without water.
And I think the cops, you know, as much as we support law enforcement, I think they would give it a good try for about 24 hours. And then they'd say, this is beyond hope. We're going home to protect our families. You know, it's about it.
We mentioned that in the movie, and we saw that happen in Watts, two decades ago.
Yeah. All right. Well, David, we appreciate your time and your film, and you're doing some really important work, and I hope that this has a big impact. We'll do our part to help you spread the word.
Thank you so much, Mike.
All right. Thank you, David. And stand by. I'll give you my number after this.
And great.
Thank all of you for watching. The website again is griddownpowerup.com. And you can also find this film on YouTube and other platforms. And I'm going to talk with David about seeing how we can get it onto Brighteon as well. Share this interview also. Remember, everybody needs electricity, except perhaps the Amish are not as dependent on it, which may not be an unwise thing from time to time, you know. Or the Mennonites, they know how to live without electricity. But for everybody else, your life is going to suck without power. And 90% of Americans probably won't survive it if it happens for an extended period of time. So get on top of this issue, take action, encourage lawmakers to solve this problem, which is solvable with money and effort. This is one problem we can resolve. And again, post this interview on other platforms and channels. And thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. Take care.